Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 13. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, "You do not know now that what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one that has bathed does not need to be washed, but except for the feet, but is entirely clean. This is the word of God for us, the people of God."
So for many years, my older brother and I couldn't stand each other. And there was a particular season, his name's Ken, where we were so done with one another that we weren't even pranking each other. And that's kind of when I knew things were bad between us, is when we weren't even like actively trying to tear one another down. We just stopped. And it's okay. It's brothers, you know, this is part of it. Everyone's looking at me a little concerned. I love my brother very much. But there was a season where we were not getting along and it was not good. We shared a car. We would argue about whose turn it was to use the car. We would argue about gas. We would just argue and would just bicker about everything. 13 months apart, Irish twins, and just too close, I feel like, for most of our lives. And there was a season where we really started to drift in high school. And we went to summer youth group. And for the first time, our youth pastor, Mike, organized a foot washing. Now, for those of you that grew up Methodist, I've been told foot washings are really common, and a lot of like youth groups have done them. I know our youth group has done foot washings. This was not anything that we had done before, and so it was new and it was weird. And credit to Mike. I mean, he read this story from the Gospel of John, and then had us pair up with one another one night. And immediately, Ken and I went to different parts of the room. Right? And started pairing up with our friends. And Mike pulled us together and was like, no. Like, you two, you're going to wash each other's feet. I don't know if my mom paid him. I don't know what she did or if Mike was just feeling the Holy Spirit. But he was like, "You two need this. You're dysfunctional. You're a problem. You're going to wash each other's feet." And Ken immediately, so there's like all these chairs set up around, chairs with basins, and Ken immediately sits down and goes, "Obviously, you're going to wash my feet first," and then dangles his toes out, hits me with the spirit toes. So I start, you know, I get the basin, I get the washcloth, and I start washing his feet. And I'm cleaning the top of his feet, I'm cleaning the bottom of his feet, I'm cleaning the heel, I'm getting in between the toes. And I thought to myself, you know, I really can't stand this guy right now. But I do love him, right? Have you ever had that where you're like, "I want to send this person through a wall, and I love him so much." And I actually do love them, right? But I had that feeling, because it's hard to put your hands on someone and there's zero eye contact going on between Ken and I, right? It's the last thing you could do is look each other in the eye. It's too vulnerable. It's too intimate of a moment. And something terrible happened in this moment for me. I started to get emotional and I started to cry. And Ken goes, "Dude, are you crying right now?" And I was like, "No, I have something in both my eyes. Stop." And he's like, dude, seriously, don't embarrass me right now. And he's like looking around and he goes, get up. And he's like, sit down. And we switch places. So now he's cleaning my feet. And I like wipe my tears away. No one saw, we're good. He's getting in there in between this little piggy, that little piggy. He's in there, he's cleaning in between my feet. And he starts to get emotional too. He looks up at me, tears are streaming down his face. Coldplay, tears stream down your face. It's written about a foot washing. It's not. But it'd be funny if it was. And we're both weeping, which I'm admitting is tough when you're like a high school football player. And he gets up and we embraced one another. We hugged it out and we just cried. And it didn't solve all of our problems, but it did feel like a wall kind of came down that day. And that's the only foot washing I've ever done. I've never done another one. And I'm not abstaining. I'm not like, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to turn into a puddle, so I'm never doing one again. That's not what's happened. I've never had the opportunity. There's been talks of like, we should try this or we should do that. We've done stuff like that, but I've just never participated. And I asked Ken, I said, have you ever done a foot washing? And he's like, he's buried this so far. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, you remember that time where we both cried? You know, and he's like, yeah, I remember. And he's like, no, he hasn't done one either. Neither of us have done a foot washing since that night. Something happens when you put on an apron and get your hands on somebody, right? You're touching their feet, right? You're cleaning in between their toes. You're washing them. It's incredibly intimate, right? And Jesus knows this. This is his last night on earth. He finds himself around a table with his closest friends, and while he's there, he gets up from the table, we're told. He takes off his outer robe, and he puts on a towel around his waist, or as it reads in the message, he puts on an apron. And he begins to wash the feet of the disciples and dry off their feet on this towel around his waist. And this goes on for a few of the disciples, and when it gets to Peter, he's shocked. He's like, what is going on here, right? He speaks up like he does often, maybe a little too soon, and he's like, wait, you're gonna wash my feet? And Jesus is like, yeah, you don't understand what's happening, per usual. And he's like, you will never wash my feet, right? And then Jesus hits him with, you don't understand now, but you will one day. If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no share with me. And he's like, not only my feet, but my head and my hands, right? He's way too wishy-washy. It's like, pick a lane, bro. Just relax a little bit. But Peter is shocked about this. Like, you're gonna wash my feet? And I kind of understand where Peter is coming from, right? Don't pair me up with my brother. Pair me up with anyone else. Not me and you. Let us, the disciples, wash each other's feet. Or let me wash your feet, but you wash mine. That's backwards, right? We prefer, I think, sometimes for Jesus to wear a robe instead of an apron, right? This is, after all, the one who is going to come and free the prisoners, to liberate the oppressed. For all of these years, Jews have been waiting for a king to come, a Messiah, and kings wear robes, not aprons, right? Kings command armies and wield swords, not basins and washcloths. And kings don't serve in their minds. Kings get served, right? And here is Christ the King putting on this apron, this garment of service and sacrifice. And Peter is uncomfortable with it, right? Because that's not what he's used to. It's not what we're used to. We are trained, we are conditioned to strive up towards the penthouse, not down, right? Not down towards the apron in the foot washing. There was a show I used to watch. I'm guessing some of y'all watched it too. It just turned 25 years old this month. It was on MTV. It's a little show called Cribs. Who used to watch Cribs? Raise your hand if you watch. Great, awesome, I love it, I'm not alone here. This was a show, before we had Chip and Joanne, we had Cribs. Before, this is like pre-HGTV, we had cribs, right? And it was, you got to take a tour and celebrities, stars, houses. I remember Mariah Carey had a mermaid room. Some of y'all remember this app with the gold-plated doors. That was pretty cool. Tony Hawk had the infinity pool with the private skate park in the backyard. Shaquille had the bed, the giant bed, 15 feet by 30 feet with the black Superman logo. It was pretty awesome. Robbie Williams, British singer-songwriter. Do you remember his episode? He had this castle, this massive castle. And inside there were butlers and servants. It was the most decadent and grotesque of all the Cribs episodes. I recommend you watch it. It's insane. He lives in this crazy castle. It comes out months later that it wasn't his castle. This was the first scandal I remember as a kid. I'm like, he lied about the castle? It wasn't his. He rented it for one day, and he hired these butlers and servants, some of them actors, for one day, for filming, just for filming, and duped everyone. And he issued, it was almost our first cancellation, I feel like. He issued this apology, like got in front of it, and he said in the apology, and there's just this great irony, too, of somebody on the show falling into the show's lore, right? And he issues this apology, and he says, I'm so sorry, I got caught up in it. I wanted to appear wealthier than I was. And everybody was like, dude, we get it. That was the weird part, is everybody just immediately forgave him. I was like, no, crucify him. That, I really thought that was his castle, right? But he was like, no, I just wanted to appear wealthier than I was. And everyone was like, yeah, we get it. We understand that, right? There's a moment in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians where he writes to them, though Jesus was rich, he for your sakes became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus trades a robe for an apron. The heart of Christ is a heart that clothes itself with service and love. It clothes itself with an apron. The heart of Christ is one that is interested in downward mobility. This is the most annoying part of the gospel for me. I'm going to be honest, and about Jesus. I struggle with this, right? Because like all of you, I have been trained to climb the next rung on the ladder, right? But Jesus reminds us that ladders lead down as well as up, right? Jesus is interested. There's this whole hymn that the Apostle Paul writes about Christ called the Christ Hymn from Philippians chapter 2. We've been reading it. We're going to read it here in a minute after the sermon, where he says, though, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, though he was equal with God, did not take this equality as something to be exploited, but humbled himself, emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Jesus, who is equal with God, could have balled out. Could have went the Cribs route with the castle and the butlers and the servants, golden castle in heaven, could have done it that way, but instead comes down here and puts on the apron of human flesh. This is what makes the story so unique and compelling. Puts on the apron of human flesh and washes the feet of other humans. What is he doing? Imagine being an angel. Being like, oh, this has gone awry, right? This is not good. But that's what he does. And it shows to us that Jesus is not above it. That's the power. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is not above the dirt in between the toes. I'm not talking about modern toes. I'm talking about ancient toes, weird toes, right? No supportive Bamba socks. Weird stuff in there, and he's cleaning it out. An old mentor of mine, a pastor, used to say, no matter how many degrees you get, you're never above folding chairs. That's what he'd say. And I'd be like, get me a new career. I'm in the wrong lane, right? And I think about that a lot. When I'm doing something in this job, as I'm often doing, that I'm tempted to feel I'm above when I'm in that freaking closet back there looking, you know, and I'm like rustling through basketballs, trying to find more chairs, right? Or looking for something for the table or setting up the rug. And I'm tempted to think, I have a degree from Duke. What am I doing? What have I done with my life? What has gone wrong? I think of that voice. Truly, you're never above folding chairs. And it centers me a little bit and quiets that voice of like, oh yeah, maybe I'm not above this. Maybe this is the point. And it's not just for a job as pastors, it's for all of us as Christians that we're never above folding chairs. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Pick up your cross, he says, and follow me. So before you sign up, before you enter into those waters of baptism, know that that's the sales pitch. Pick up your cross and follow me. Put on an apron and help. That's what humility looks like. That's what humbling ourselves look like. And Jesus knows that this downward mobility, living life with an apron on, has the ability to change us for the better. Some of y'all heard me say this. I shared this a few months ago. There was a university, mental health services, overrun with students. Not enough therapists. Not enough mental health professionals. So they had to institute a prerequisite to slow down the influx. They handed, when you walked into this office, 5 places to volunteer. And they said, volunteer for 2 weeks, and if you do that, you get an appointment. And what happened was they had a lot of kids call and revoke their appointment requests. And they said, you know, I've been serving at this place and I'm feeling better. Now, I am not saying that service can fix all mental health issues, but I do think it has an effect on us, right? Serving others can be good for us too. And a lot of us come to the church with this question of what services do y'all offer? I have this conversation a lot. God bless them. God love them. With new people who are new to church, and the question is often, what kind of worship style is there? I'm trying to feel out if it'll fit my preferences. Hey, a lot of us don't know better, right? And we're new and we're coming into things. And I've been this person in a lot of parts of my life. So there's grace, there's genuine grace. But it is a little bit funny that this is the question, right? Will the children's ministry fit the childcare needs of my family? Right? Are there groups that I can join that will fill my cup spiritually and spiritually edify me? Right? And it's all the same question. How will the church serve me? How will the church serve me? But that's not who we are. And that's not what we do, because that's not who Jesus was. Jesus puts on an apron. And when we come to this place, we wear an apron. Somebody at any church event is always wearing an apron, I promise you. And we do that intentionally. That's intentional because it humbles us and it makes us, forms us into the image of Christ. And for those of you in this room, I could point out a number of them, but I'm not going to because that would be too kind. That was a joke, I'm sorry, it didn't land. are already embodying this. A number of you in this room come here with an apron on, and I see you in the halls, and I see you leading things, and I see you serving in ways that are genuinely inspiring me and others around us and lifting us up, and to that I say thank you, truly. Because this is what Jesus does. This is one of the greatest privileges I have of being a pastor, is I get a front row seat to this. We had a woman, not that long ago, single mother, car breaks down, and can't get to work, and her community group comes together, pulls their resources, buys her a car. Nothing flashy, reliable, and puts it in her driveway in the middle of the night This really happened. It wasn't talked about at all, but I heard about it, and I'm going to share the story. And I'm not sharing who did it, but that's what service looks like. And I'll take it a step further. That's what a miracle looks like. When you can't get to work as a single mother, and overnight you come out and there's a car in your driveway. And what are we doing here? That's the power of the gospel. That's what it means to live like Christ. Thursday nights, don't even get me started on Thursday nights in this church. They are wild and they are loud. There's a lot going on Thursday nights in this church. You come in here and there's so many people, there's so many kids, but it's a beautiful thing. This past Thursday night, I was here, saw it happen. I even looked on the calendar to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Just this past Thursday night was our food distribution program. So families were getting fed, right? Our ESL class was happening. Families who want to learn the language here, the language of English, read and feed is happening. So kids are getting tutored and fed, right? Grief share is happening. This is a recovery group for people coping with the loss of a loved one. And I'll throw in on top of that, the First on Chatham band was rehearsing all at the same time. And it was almost too much. And it was like, wow, all these people giving up their Thursday night to be here, to serve. That's what service looks like. This morning alone, 11 people were here in this room at 8 a.m. on a morning where it was cold and overcast, and it's the first time you turned on your heat in your house, and it would have been a great morning to sleep in and sit by the fire and just drink a cup of coffee. I'm getting a nod over here. Amen. Yeah, I see you, Emily. She's like, I really regret being here right now. Right? And they came, 22 people just at First on Chatham to make two services happen. Communion service, ushers, greeters, band, tech. Of a weekend morning, like zoom out. Yeah, this is where we're going to be on a Sunday, right? We're Christians. But zoom out. You could have been at brunch. You could have been with your family. You could have been doing some other really cool things this morning. I saw a family. They parked in our church lot. I pulled up like I was taking down their number and was going to tow them. No, I'm kidding. They parked in our church lot, even though they parked right next to the sign that says church parking only. They get out of the car. They've got coffee. They've got scones. They're having a great morning, and they're walking to the park. And I wanted to run them over. No, I'm kidding. I'm pulling in to come here, right? And I'm like, a tale of two mornings, right? That's what life outside looks like. But you chose to come here. How beautiful is that? Don't even get me started on youth and children's ministry and Sunday school and all the other things that are happening in this building. Trunk or treat tonight, how many people it's gonna take? Probably 100 people to make that event happen so that 600 can come. It's intentional that any event the church has, that we host, that we put on, somebody is wearing an apron. That's the expectation. That's the hope. As Pastor Ben likes to say, we don't want more from you. We want more for you. That's what Jesus calls us to do. So the next time you're angry with your brother, the next time you're wishing you had more and you're thinking about Robbie Williams' castle, the next time you're just confused at the state of the world, stop. Stop thinking. Just put on an apron. Drop a knee. Start washing feet. Get in those toes, this little piggy. Get in there and see if it changes you. See if it does something to you. Amen? Amen.